Good morning, boys and girls. Everybody's coming here and to get ready to sit down. I'm going to tell you a story this morning, and actually it's a story that I heard a long time ago when my children were little, and so I'm going to tell it the best I remember it. And actually it's a testimony. Do you know what a testimony is? That's a big word, isn't it? It's a story about how someone come to love Jesus. Okay? So it's a story about there was a man and there was a woman, and they were going to evangelistic meetings. Do you know what evangelistic meetings are? They're meetings where somebody is preaching about Jesus and how to give your heart to Jesus. So they were coming to these meetings, and she was his girlfriend. And each of them had jobs. She worked in an office, and do you know what he did? We're going to show you a picture here, and you tell me what kind of job he had. What is that? That's close. He was a football player, and if anybody knows what the NFL means, it's a big name for people that do that as a profession. That's what their work is. So they were coming to these meetings, and they were learning about Jesus. And one night when they came to these meetings, they opened their Bible, and they found out that Jesus wants us to keep the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is on what day of the week? The seventh day of the week. And you know what? She said, I want to do that. I want to obey Jesus. I want to do what is right. And do you know what he said? He said, I can't do that. Why, when are most of the football games? Sabbath. On Sabbath or Sunday. He said, I can't do that. Why, I would lose my job. And you know what? He said, I make a lot of money. And she said, well, you can decide to do what you want to do, but I'm going to do what pleases Jesus. So the very next week that came up, he asked her, he said, are you going to come and watch me while I play this Sabbath? What do you think she said? No, I'm not. And he wasn't very happy about that. But she said, I'm going to do what pleases Jesus. So that Sabbath morning, she got up, and she went to Sabbath school, and she went to church for the first time. And she was so happy, and she had the most wonderful day. And when it was all over, and then she went home, and do you know what? Her boyfriend, did he choose to go into church? No, he didn't. What did he choose to do? He went and played his football game. And did he know that that's what Jesus wanted him to do? No. That's right. He knew Jesus didn't want him to do that. So he went to play his football game, and he said he had the most miserable day of his life. He said they didn't win their game, and he said the other team, they just beat him up, and he was all discouraged, and he said no matter what he tried to do, he couldn't help them win that game. And on top of that, there was something working in his head. What do you think was talking to him in his head? Jesus was saying, you're not where I want you to be. And so after that game, then they got together because they went to another meeting, and they went out and they talked afterwards. And he said, how was your day? And she said, I had the most wonderful day of my life. I'm so happy. I am so glad I chose to serve Jesus. She said, how was your day? And he said, I had the most miserable day of my life. And he said, I've made a decision. He said, I am going to resign. He said, I signed a great big contract that said I'm supposed to play for a certain length of time. He said, but I've decided this week I'm going to go in and tell them that I'm not going to play anymore. And he said, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do next week. And you know what? when you think about that story, when was it that they made the decision? Did they make a decision right the morning on Sabbath morning, or did they make a decision when they learned it from their Bible? When they learned it from their Bible, that was when she made the good decision, and then he had to go through problems and struggles. You know what, that man works today, and he's a probation officer, and that's a big word. But you know what he does? He helps people make better decisions that have made bad decisions. And you know what he tells them? He said if it was not for that girlfriend who he later married, and they were both baptized, but he said if it was not for her decision to be true and honest and to do what Jesus wanted her to do then, he said he is not sure he would ever have made that decision. What if she would have said, I tell you what, I'll go and watch you at your games, but I'll do that only for a while. Do you think that would have helped him make a good decision for Jesus? No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But he tells people how her decision helped him to make a good decision for Jesus. So when you make decisions, do you know that you may influence some other person to make a good decision for Jesus? So when you hear Jesus speaking to you and you read from your Bible, you should be doing something. When's the best time to do it? Right then. That's right. And then you may help someone else make a good decision for Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your patience, and we ask that you would be with us. Help us to learn to love and to obey you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, it's our opportunity to come to the throne of grace. If you have a special request, put it on the blue card and bring it down to the front and join me down here. Father, our Creator and our Redeemer, it's a privilege for us to worship you, to come here to your house and to meet with you, to worship you, to praise you. We want to come first with our praises for being the great God that you are. We ask for your mercy where we have sinned, broken your law, caused you pain. We thank you for the promises that you've said that if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we pray for that promise right now. I want to lift up all of those that have the burdens that they want to cast upon you. Each of us have our perplexities, our problems, whether they're physical, mental, emotional, financial issues, spiritual. Lord, we just pray that you would heal each one of us in the areas that we need healing. I pray for the the blue card that I have in my hand. And I know that others have special situations, needs that they are bringing to your throne right now. I pray that you would answer each need, meet each need, each thing in the way that is best for each one. I pray for those among us who are sick, who are suffering, who are ill, that need your healing touch. And we've lifted up the name of Alex before. I want to lift him up again. Pray that you would continue to bring healing to him, and that he might be able to be restored back to full health. Lord, I want to lift up Pastor Draggett now. Pray that you would use him and speak through him to us today. Help us to have ears that hear, minds that can understand. I pray that the angels will be here. The Holy Spirit will speak to each and every heart today. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We have a Bible memorization class here at Three Angels, meeting weekly, memorizing every few weeks. Every week they memorize new verses. And so they're here now to share with us the verses they've learned over the last few weeks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to recite Psalms 119, I think 1 through 21. Hope you're blessed as we've been blessed. And blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who seek his... Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart.
Verse 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
I have 7 and 8. I will praise thee with my whole, with uprightness of heart, when I have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, forsake me not utterly.
9 and 10. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. And 10. I have sought you with my whole heart. I will let your commandments. Let me not wander from your commandments.
Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes.
With my lips, I have declared all the judgment of thy mouth.
I have rejoiced in all thy testimonies, as much as in all riches.
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live, and keep your word.
Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Please do not hide your commandments from me.
My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments. at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. I thank you that all the people that attend the class and put to memorization of the scriptures. And we're continuing in Psalm 119. As you heard, most of us had multiple verses to memorize and to recite. They're not long, but they are multiple verses. If there are more people to join the class, then we will be able to have each one verse. And I tell you, it may seem very daunting. Psalm 119, the largest chapter in the Bible. But as you heard, there are some beautiful promises. There are some beautiful scriptures that are found in this chapter. And what better to have that memorized and in our head than all the various things in this world that we can have in our heads. So we are not going to have class today, but we will start up next week at 2 o'clock. So I encourage you to be here for the Bible memorization. Thank you. God bless.
Now time for the offering. The best loved hymn from the great hymn book of Scripture is the Shepherd's Song, Psalm 23, which begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The hymn concludes with the reassuring words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The goodness and mercy of God that seek us out in our hectic day-to-day routines was made possible through one, Jesus of Nazareth. Though a humble carpenter by trade, Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd. John 10:11-17 say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Our gifts of worship to the Lord should be an expression of gratitude for the shepherd who gave his all, his life, that we might receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. In light of his great sacrificial giving, I am forced to ask myself and you, do my offerings to the Lord today reflect generosity? Just how substantial is my offering? Is your offering? Let's go a step further. Would you or I lay down our lives for the operations of the church? While we may think that our gifts help Kansas, Nebraska, which is today's loose offering, is for Kansas, Nebraska Conference, and other ministries throughout the year, as well as the insurance, the utility bills, supplies, literature, personal ministries, They in essence represent God's shepherds ministering to the sheep and goats of our community. Is this place not the fold for the sheep? Is this not the place where the sheep are fed, nourished, bandaged up, and commissioned for service for another week? Let's be thankful to God for his gift of an all-sufficient shepherd who gave his life. Let's worship him with our tithes and offerings. They will not pick up the offering. Father, we do praise you for all that you provide. We praise you that you have given us so that we can give to others. We praise you that you have given us both means as well as time and love for others, that we can show that love, that we can spend that time, that we can give the offerings. We thank you so much for all that you give us. We pray that you'd bless this offering, that it would go to do your work, to hasten your coming. We thank you and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now, we have a trio that will be singing at this time. A number of years ago, I had an accident. I caused some damage to my shoulder. And ever since then, I've had a tremor in my left hand. Many of you have observed it. And somebody came up to me during pastor's meetings this week and said, Pastor, he's a fellow pastor. He said, I noticed your hand has a tremor. And I said, yes, it happened during an accident many years ago. And some days it's worse and some days not. And it so happens to be worse today. But you know what? God is a God of the impossible.
If you would like to please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, and I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I take the wings of morning, if I fly into the dawn, through the rosy path of sunrise, to the glories of the morn, even there thy hand shall lead me, even there thy mighty hand. In eternal love shall hold me, even there, yes, even there. If I fly through darkest midnight, on the lonely wings of night, if a storm should break upon me, in the flurry of my flight, even though my hand shall lead me, even though thy mighty hand lead me, dwell upon the ocean, or descend into the deep,
Though the darkness may surround me, behold, Thou art there to keep. Even though Thy hand shall lead me, even there Thy mighty hand, in eternal love shall hold me, even there, yes, even
Happy Sabbath. Today our scripture reading will come from Hebrews 11:13-16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city.
Pilgrims in search of a city. It's kind of a story. We spend a lot of time each day reading. We're currently reading the Conflict series, five books entitled Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, the Desire of Ages, the Acts of the Apostles, the Great Controversy. We're going through those five books this year, from beginning to end. In addition to that, we are also reading, of course, our Bible. We're reading through the entire Bible this year. Mike is not on? All right, now it's on. And so we're reading through the Bible, but also, in addition to that, we have something called the Testimonies in our church. 10 volumes of books that have been such a blessing. Did I say 10? Sorry. I have not written an extra volume for that. So 9 volumes, that's right. 9 volumes. And it's so easy to read through the testimonies. You know how? All you have to do is to sign up for a reading plan. It's called a revival plan, and this has been mentioned before. And the website is revivalplan, I think it is. Revivalplan.com. Correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, you go there, you sign up, and then each day you will get an email. And in an email, you just click on a link, and it will take you right to the pages for that day. And if you go there, you can also click on another link and you can listen to it. And so you don't even have to go and look it up. You don't have to get the books. It's all there in the email. And so I get the email every day, so I'm not worrying about where it is. revivalplan.com. Thank you. So, you know, every pastor should know the testimonies to the church. And I think it would be a blessing for every member to read them as well. So it's very easy with a daily email. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been so blessed by having all the counsel and messages. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the church is worldwide today, because of it. And if we are failing, it's not because God hasn't tried to get our attention. You pray for wisdom. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. Well, one source of wisdom is the Bible. That's the main source of wisdom. Another source of wisdom is the inspired testimonies that God has given us. Now, yesterday morning, I was spending some time in prayer because I had been to pastors' meetings all week. I've been thinking all through the week, what am I going to speak about this Sabbath? I was struggling. Lord, give me a message. You can't just come up with anything. It's got to be from God. And so I was sitting there yesterday morning, and I was still struggling. And I had, some of you are aware that I have gone to a dentist in Oklahoma City. And I promise this is the last time I talk about my teeth. Anyway, so one time before, when I had a broken temporary crown, you may recall, I went there, and 1.5 weeks before the permanent crown was supposed to arrive, he had arrived 30 minutes before I came there in Oklahoma City. And so, praise God, I didn't have to go back. And I thank God for that. And then, yesterday, well, another crown had broken. And I thought, oh no, I have to go to Oklahoma City. I can't stand up here without that temporary crown in. And so I thought, what am I going to do? I need to spend my time preparing a message. And then God spoke to me, you know, you need to go. And I said, well, I can't. But then I said, if I have a message within the next 30 minutes, because this was early morning, then I can go. And sure enough, I got a message given to me right there and then. And this message was this one, Pilgrims in the Search of a City. I was looking at the screen. And so I said, thank you, Lord, thank you. I know exactly this is the story of Abraham, you know, leaving everything behind and going for the city of God. And so I decided to go, but I still didn't know what to say and what to write. I had some ideas. And so I started driving. And then on the way there, I was listening. I was listening to the chapter for the day in Patriarchs and Prophets, and I didn't realize it until I started listening. It was the chapter entitled Abraham's Call. Now, isn't that a coincidence? And so I started listening, and I got so many ideas. I called my wife, all excited. God is working everything out. And then I arrived, and guess what? I arrived in Oklahoma City. And again, it's almost like deja vu all over again, as someone once said, because I came into the dentist and exactly what happened a couple of weeks before repeated itself, because the dentist said, you know, this is your lucky day. Now, this is 2 weeks before the permanent crown was supposed to come in. He said, the crown arrived late last night. And he said to me, do you have a crystal ball? And I said, no, but I have something much better. My wife and I, we start every day with prayer. And I was able to talk to him and witness to him about prayer and how it works. And so praise God for that. But you know what? God does provide us with miraculous interventions as well as incredible coincidences when we pray. Amen? But on the way home, I had a trial. I had a trial on my way home. It was raining yesterday, right? Most of the day. It was raining pretty heavy when I left Oklahoma City. About 100 miles from home, something happened right in front of me. And no, it wasn't on the street. It was my windshield wiper. It started behaving erratically. It's like, whoop, whoop, And then suddenly, it just went off the window altogether. Not the one on the passenger side, the one on the driver's side. And so it just went off the window, and it got lodged between the mirror and the door. And it stayed there, and you know what that meant? That meant that the other one could function. But if both of them had gone out at once, I would have been in a heap of trouble. You know why? Because I was just about ready to pass a truck. And it was spitting up all kinds of... I couldn't see. And I had to lean over, and I was able to slow down and get over to the side. And so if this windshield wiper had stayed where it was but behaved erratically, it would interfere with the other one. So I'm just thankful for that it actually decided to get off the window and provide me with an opportunity to see anyway. Amen? So even in the middle of our trials, God will help us through, right? Somehow or another. You know, the more I read the Bible, the precious Word of God, as well as the Spirit of Prophecy, the more I realize that we are heading, my friends, for a climactic head-on collision with billions of ingenious and evil spirits who are taking on the last generation of human minds. Are you with me on that? Do you understand that? And of all, you know, everywhere, people are bombarded by intensely deceptive and evil concoctions of right and wrong, of truth and error, of light versus darkness, issues. They get confused. They don't know who God is. They don't know His character. They don't know His love. They're so busy with problems, they don't have time for that early morning time hour. They don't have time to spend with God. They don't have time to surrender their plans to Him so that He can show them His plan for them. So busy with problems, busy with the stresses of life, busy with health issues, busy with jobs, busy with secular media. They're so busy with life that they don't see God anymore. And maybe you find yourself, some of you may, maybe we will find ourselves in the same situation sometimes. As Christian Seventh-day Adventists, we are the ones that are supposed to show people who God is, to show them His character, to show them His love. But maybe we are shackled by so many things that obscure the vision of God. And we're so busy with our own plans that we have no time for God's plans. No time for allowing God to share His plan with us. Perhaps the obstacles that are staring us in the face every day, at times they may appear bigger than we may seem to be able to handle. In fact, we know we can't handle them. Perhaps we're simply comfortable, therefore, you know, with the way things, you know, with the way we are, so we don't even want to engage in the battle as Christians. Either way, we are tempted to either give up or to let go. Can you identify anyone? Have you ever faced that reality before? So what does it take for a Seventh-day Adventist Christian to stay focused and to hang on? Well, the story of Abraham can lead us to the answer. Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9 says, and you have it there on your handout, I'm going to be reading, usually I read from the New King James Version, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. You look it up in your Bible. But today I'm going to use that particular one because it does it very well in these particular verses, the translation. It says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God." Now, just imagine for a moment that Abram was here this morning talking to you and to me. He'd probably have an experience or say something like this. You know, I was an extremely wealthy man, a man of great influence, highly respected by my fellow citizens. I had a beautiful mansion there in the city of Ur, in the wealthiest area of the city. Everything, you know, the sink, the jacuzzi, every lamp, every kitchen utensil was made of pure gold. And I had a fleet of Mercedes and Porsches, or maybe I should say. I had a garage full of camels. But then one day God spoke to me. I experienced a deeper conversion. And God told me that He had other plans for my life. He told me to leave my comfortable life. He called me away from a life of pleasure, from a life of fame, away from a life of the comfort that I was so used to. He guided my steps towards another way of living, towards another country, towards a promised land. And so I decided to become a pilgrim, a traveler, a resident alien in this world, because I looked beyond. My friends, Abraham had been surrounded by idol worship. His parents, his brothers and sisters, all his extended family were steeped in worshiping anything but the true God. And that's what idol worship refers to. Anything or anyone that takes my attention away from God is an idol. You name it. And God called Abraham out of that environment. Now, yesterday, as I mentioned, I was reading the chapter about Abraham in the book Patriarchs and Prophets. And I read there that Abraham and Sarah, too, tried to explain their decision to obey God and to follow His lead. They tried to explain it to their idol-worshipping relatives and friends. But most of them didn't get it. They thought he was a religious nut, that he was crazy. Because, you see, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Now, while the people around him, around Abraham, only went by what they could see, by what they could hear, by what they could smell, by what they could taste, by what they could touch, Abraham decided to do the crazy thing and trust the word of God. He had caught a vision of the coming Messiah. And as time went by, he even saw beyond Christ's day, to the second coming of Jesus and to the new earth. And Abraham eventually lost interest in the land of milk and honey. Even that land that he was going towards. He lost interest in that land because he had seen a better land with a tree of life. And when his eye caught a glimpse of the river of life, he realized that the river of Jordan, it was just too shallow for him. And no longer did he decide to build cities in the land of Canaan because he had seen the city with the eternal foundations whose builder and maker is God. Abraham looked beyond what he could see with the naked eye. And he looked with an eye of faith and trust to the future that God had prepared for him. Now, how about you? How about you and I? Have we caught that perspective that Abraham had? When the Holy Spirit calls upon you to do the crazy thing and to trust and obey His word, what do you do? A relative of mine has been a professional North Sea diver. That's one of the most challenging jobs you can ever have. There are only a few of them. And the same here in the United States, on certain oil platforms in the sea, you know, North Sea dive, I mean, these kinds of divers, saturation divers, they're called. They go into deep, deep waters, and they work on installations. They may go down to 1,000 feet. And if you work at almost 1,000 feet, guess how long time it will take you to get back up again, unless you... It takes about a week to get up, to get adjusted to the atmospheric pressure on the surface. So he's down there more than 3 weeks at a time. And they have a little container that they can stay in at night and then go back out and work. An extremely hazardous job because of the depth. It takes, as I said, more than a week to get back to the surface. And if he doesn't, the blood in his body would literally experience thousands of small explosions. And he would face certain death. And that's why he pays paid a lot. $1,500 to $2,000 per day. Repairing all kinds of underwater installations. And he said that the only way he can stay sane for so long in the darkness down there is by keeping his mind above the surface. He always thinks about his family and what they're going to do. And by the way, he can even talk on the phone with his family down there. But when he does, he sounds like a duck. Because in order to survive down there, they had to increase the intake of helium. So he sounds like a duck when he talks to them. So they're trying to have a certain way of translating that, to have a machine that can translate what he says. Fascinating, isn't it? But he thinks about his family and what they're going to do together when they're together. And then, of course, he can talk with them. In that way, he can stay down there in the darkness and accomplish what he is there to do, his mission. That's exactly what Abraham did. He looked beyond the here and now, even though he was down in the darkness here. And that mindset affected every decision he made. Now, he made some mistakes, but he got right back on again and to do the right thing. Now, I love the way Hebrews 11 describes our earthly journey of faith. Hebrews 11, verses 13 and 6 to 16 were read earlier for us. And again, from the New King James Version, these verses have a lot to say to all of us this morning. So let's take a look. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. It says, all these faithful ones died... Talking about these people of faith, they died without receiving what God had promised them. But they saw it all from a distance and welcomed the promises of God. They agreed that they were no more than foreigners and pilgrims here on earth. And obviously, people who talk like that are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had meant the country they came from, they would have found a way to go back. But they were looking for a better place. A heavenly homeland. And that is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a heavenly city for them. So let's reflect on a couple of questions. What is the vision we are to stay focused on? And the second question is this: what does it take to hang on to it? So number one, the vision. Now, that's not on your slide, so if you want to write down, you can. But the first one I'm going to deal with is the vision. There are two parts to the vision. First, identity. And second, destiny. Let's look at the first one, identity. Did you notice how in verse 13, notice how God's people are described? This is their sense of identity, who they are. It's their personal self-description. There in verse 13, it says in the second half of the verse, they agreed that they were no more than foreigners and pilgrims. You know, one of the easiest things for you and I to forget is that we are pilgrims here on earth. A pilgrim is another word for a nomad. Nomads are temporary dwellers. They refuse to sink their roots so deeply in one place that they forget what they're all about. They move from place to place with a greater purpose and destination in mind than their current location. Now, this is not suggesting that we're all supposed to move around and never settle down. In fact, many of the heroes of faith mentioned in this chapter, Hebrews 11, they were not called to a literal journey like Abraham was. But the temptation is that in our mentality of being settlers, you know, we are settled, you know, we end up staking our claim to our little plot of earth and call it home. We forget that even in the midst of our settlements, we are not really home. Our home is in a better land. It's a home in which God dwells and longs to have us dwell with Him. We will never be truly home until we are with God personally at last. We're pilgrims here. That is our identity. That's point number one. And point number two of the vision, destiny. Where are we going? Where are we headed? Where do pilgrims really belong? Did you notice verse 14 and verse 16? It says, and obviously people who talk like that are what? They're looking forward to a country they can call their own. In verse 16, they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a heavenly city for them. So our identity is pilgrims. Our destiny is the city of God. We are pilgrims in search of a city. If you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, or if you are one who is searching for truth and searching for God, my friends, that means that it should be in your and my heart to be pilgrims in search of a city. Imagine it. Imagine it. The place where God dwells, where Jesus lives. That's our home. That's our destiny. The author of Hebrews calls it a better place, a heavenly homeland. It's a place, the Bible describes, of unimaginable joy and beauty and peace and safety and love and acceptance and warmth. The fruit of the Spirit characterizes the entire place. Nothing we can that we have here can possibly compared to this destiny, which makes you wonder why in the world we get so comfortable here. Why we get so caught up in all that happens here when we know all of these things. Something goes wrong and we feel our lives are caving in. Something gives us pain and we think the world is over. Something good happens and we're ready to drive our stakes down even deeper into the ground and stay forever. But the reality is, my friends, whether life is going badly or wonderfully, this is not home. We're not there yet. Home is where God is. Home is where Jesus is. Home is where He's calling us to be someday. And He's preparing us for that today. It's interesting, you know, justification is an event. For Abraham, when he was turned around by God, and God called him, that was justification. God says, come, be mine. And Abraham says, yes, I will. And then he journeyed and went wherever God led. That's sanctification. That's a process. And then glorification, the final part of this threefold plan of salvation, that's eternity. And God is calling us to be on that path. Remember what Jesus tells His disciples before He leaves? John 14, verses 1 to 3. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is calling you and me to stay on the journey all the way to his home, to be with him forever, to be in connection with him, to be in that relationship, to be in that process of sanctification all the way until we can be with him forever. So the call is to not sink your roots so deep here that you will not want to uproot and go home. Let's not get so caught up with things here that we forget where we're going. Don't get so distracted by pain and suffering that we lose sight of our destiny. Our strategy is simple and clear. Stay focused and hang on. So how do you do that? What is it that empowers you and I to keep the vision going? That's the second question from our text. The first is about vision. The second is about motivation. The author of Hebrews clarifies this motivation by using Abraham's example. Let's go back to verses 8 through 10. Again, quickly, verses 8 through 10 says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a pilgrim, a foreigner, living in a tent. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God." Now, I see two motivations here that empower Abraham to live confidently and faithfully as a pilgrim for God, even in the face of the incredible obstacles and the super giants or the issues, the problems that he encounters along the way. The first motivator is a clear sense of calling. Abraham knows that God has called him onto this journey. He has heard the voice of God. Another expression for that, he's heard the word of God. Amen? The word of God spoke to him. Now, how else can you explain his willingness to suddenly pull up stakes in a very comfortable life, leave everything, and then launch into the unknown? This call is too big, it's too impossible, it's too risky to be from any place else than from God. And it seemed insanely ridiculous to his friends in town. Imagine what they would say and think. A mission from God? Sounds more like a mission to madness, Abraham, if you ask me. I mean, he's going off the deep edge this time. Now, that's how they would think without the spiritual mindset. And in a sense, they are right. It would be madness without supernatural power and presence of God to help you along the way. You know, if I want to go up a relatively fast moving river, just with using a canoe and using my bare hands, that would be madness. If I have a strong engine, though, that will make it better, the power behind me. You know, it's both frightening and exhilarating to obey God and to go where he leads. I think those are the two best words that I can find, the tension between them. As God's chosen blessed sons and daughters, we are expected to attempt something large enough that failure is guaranteed unless God steps in. You and I were made for the purpose of depending on God. Dependence on God makes heroes of ordinary people like, well, you and me. When God calls us as his pilgrims to engage in mission for him, he calls us to do what? To do the impossible. Because only that way will we throw ourselves in absolute dependence upon him. And when we live in trust and dependence upon him, we are empowered to be confident and faithful, even in the face of those super giants who threaten and intimidate us. Brian brought that up when he talked about the Sabbath earlier. His decision to go forward to be faithful to the Word of God, no matter what may come, God resolved the situation for him. You heard my story. Just one day in your pastor's life, this yesterday, you know, how God kind of works things out for his faithful ones. No guarantees. I mean, look at all the apostles. Either had their head chopped off, or they were crucified, or they suffered in some way or another for their faith. But they were letting themselves, surrendering their plans to God and said, Lord, your plan take over. And when you do that, all things work together for good to those who love God. And in the end, people were blessed, or will be blessed, because of what happened to the apostles. Because of how they suffered. Suffering will also sharpen and strengthen our characters, will grow us. Now, having a clear sense of a calling from God motivates us to stay focused on the vision and to hang on. And the second motivation in Abraham's story from Hebrews, well, it's a clear sense of where home is. A clear sense of where home is. Hebrews 11 verse 10 says, Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. The New Jerusalem, right? The city of God, heaven. When you are on a long, exhausting trip, does it help to keep your mind on a destination? Well, if you have a very good destination, yeah, absolutely. Keeping your mind on a destination helps you endure the trip a little better. Isn't that right? It's like me going to the dentist. I endure the dentist because of the goal, because of what comes afterwards. Hebrews says that Abraham survives this journey with confidence and faithfulness because he never forgets where he's going and he never forgets what's waiting for him at the end. He maintains a clear sense of home. Home is in the city where God is. This whole life, my friends, is simply a journey to the city. And our whole goal is to take as many people as we can to that city, to help others know where we are heading, where their real home is, and to speak with conviction to them, and to live with conviction before them, to help them to get there with us. You know, I want to dedicate everything in my life to that mission, to that vision. Don't you? Imagine what it will be like on homecoming day. Then Jesus says to the angels in heaven, all right, everyone, let's go and get them. Let's bring them home. And then just imagine this huge parade leaving the court of heaven. And everywhere this parade goes, it lights up the darkness with a light brighter than a million suns, with colors more dazzling than a million rainbows, with music more majestic than a million choirs, traveling to this earth to fulfill the promise made almost 2,500 times in Scripture, the second coming of Christ. So they're speeding through galaxies and past planets, straight toward this little planet Earth. It's homecoming time. The happiest moment in the universe. Yes, not just happiest moment in this earth, happiest moment in the universe. As Jesus and the angels position themselves around the globe. The happiest moment, or is it the happiest moment? You know, the shortest definition of a pilgrim is someone who does not say, oh no, when Jesus is coming in the clouds of heaven. What about you? Will you say, oh no, when he comes, or will you say, yes? You know, most of you have heard hundreds, maybe even thousands of sermons in your lifetime. You have heard the same messages many times. You know what Scripture says about many things. The Holy Spirit has tugged at your heart numerous times. Your toes have been stepped upon. Your conscience has been affected. You've heard the gospel. The love of God has drawn you. But often when we leave this building, life goes on as usual. No changes. Why? Because we don't act immediately. We're telling ourselves, tomorrow I'll take care of it, not today. Anytime we procrastinate, we are in fact turning down the Holy Spirit's call. Don't play games with the Holy Spirit. If God impresses you to seek Him first, to study His Word daily, to spend more time in prayer, to act on a specific call, to make a certain change, don't procrastinate. Depend on Him to help you overcome it now, today. Let me give you an example. I had the privilege of visiting with Pavel Goya this week. How many of you heard of Pavel Goya? Pavel Goya is the editor of a ministry magazine for pastors. He's doing a good job. Now, I was with many other pastors at pastors' meetings, and I had a chance to sit down with him and talk with him. And he wrote a book called One Miracle After Another, The Amazing Story of His Life. And he is a man who truly knows that whenever God is calling, he needs to go with what God says and move forward and trust that God will provide the strength, the power, the wisdom, whatever it takes to get through whatever he asks you to do. Anyway, this week he shared a story, kind of humorous story, that illustrates the futility of procrastination. When he was a young kid, he would pass through an outdoor market on the way home from school. And there was a vendor on the corner. The picture of the vendor is actually in your handout. An ice cream vendor. He was selling ice cream. Amazing, unhealthy ice cream. And this vendor was screaming as loud as he could, "Today you pay, tomorrow is free." Pavel got his ice cream, and then he went back the next day to get his free ice cream. And the vendor said, "No, today you pay, tomorrow is free." "But I came yesterday, and that was today, and now I came today, and today is tomorrow," he said to the vendor. And the vendor said, "Son, you are wrong. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. You need to come back tomorrow." "But come on, I came yesterday. Today is tomorrow. Give me my ice cream." And the vendor said, "No, today is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow." He said, "Can you argue with that?" And Paul said, "No." "Okay, well then you pay." And so Paul paid for the ice cream. Again. And then he went back the next day. And he said, "I want my free ice cream." And the vendor said, "Today you pay." "No, tomorrow I pay." The vendor said, "Son, you got confused. You pay today, tomorrow is free." But I came tomorrow." What do you mean you came tomorrow? Are you crazy? How can you came tomorrow?" "But I did. I came yesterday and today is tomorrow." And the vendor said, "You lost it, son." "But today is tomorrow." And the vendor said, "Tomorrow never comes, son." Think about the story of Balaam. He said, "Lord, let me disobey you today, and tomorrow I will obey you. Tomorrow I will go where you lead me." If you really want to someday obey God, today is the day. because tomorrow may never come. Don't play games with the Holy Spirit. If He nudges you, obey His call and accept His salvation and His Lordship. Don't listen to the devil's empty promises about tomorrow. So don't argue with God. Do what He says. Follow His lead. Take Him at His word. It's the only safe path towards a life of peace and joy, towards a life of satisfaction and a life of purpose. Make a decision today to seek God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Don't walk through these doors and say, tomorrow, tomorrow. Do you want to go home when Jesus comes back? Do you want to go home when Jesus comes back?
Yes.
Will you say, oh no, when you see Jesus coming back? Or will you say, yes? Will you join me in doing what Abraham did? Exchange your plans for God's plan for your life. If that is your desire, I invite you to just slip to your knees as we pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, that you have extended a call to us today to follow you. You said that if anyone follows, if anyone takes up the call, if anyone opens the door, that you will come in. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, oh Father, and that whoever is such a big word, we thank you for that, that we can be saved into your kingdom when we accept your call today, no matter where we have been, no matter where we are. Thank you, Father, that you have a concern about our today and our tomorrow, and that yesterday you are willing to forget when we come to you. So I pray that each and every one of us will truly be able to have that experience of walking with you and of being readied for Christ's soon coming. Oh, Father, may there be no one in this congregation who will say, oh, no, when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. May each and every one of us be emotionally blessed by His coming. May we say, yes. And yet, Father, there are people in our lives that we also would like to see there. And I pray that you will help us over the next days and weeks and months and possibly years to live convicting lives and to speak encouraging, convicting words that will help others to walk with us on this journey. Help us to make decisions to not be rooted into this world, but to be grounded in your word and to be pilgrims and travelers until we can come to that holy city, that city that you have prepared. Thank you, Father, that we can leave all of these requests in your care, knowing that you, these are prayers according to your will, and that you will bring them about to anyone who has an open heart to you. Thank you that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High God, here and now. If we, through this event called justification, accept you as Savior, and if we walk with you on that journey, thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing our closing hymn. Our hope is built on nothing less. Number 522.
All the ground is sinking sand.
Christ is all in my pursuit. Oh, I am running, seeking soon. Run up, run, it's sleeping soon. His hope is coming, open blood. Support me in the running flood. When all around my soul gives way, he hears all my hope and stay. On Christ I saw me, what I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, all may obey me, who be found. And in his righteousness alone, all this is me, we will have heard. All that is all in all I say, I am not in the sin. And now is in his name.
My benediction is from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Shoulder my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yes, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen.